The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Hope you had a great weekend. I sure did. Debbie and I had a wonderful time together, just being together, hanging out, playing some golf, and had a great day. Yesterday at First Baptist Texarkana, the Lord was really moving as we kicked off a brand new sermon series called Watch and Pray, based on what Jesus told his disciples. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And our theme verse, that's our theme for the year, watch and pray. I believe that the Lord is calling us to pray. And churches and Christians tend not to pray like we should. I'm speaking of myself here, and I want to grow in prayer. And the theme for our Watch and Pray series is Colossians 4:2-6, where the Bible clearly says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. That's another way of saying watch and pray. And so we had a great kickoff to that. I talked in the sermon about Jordan Shipley. Jordan Shipley is the Longhorn legend. He played for UT from 2004 to 2008, played in the national championship game where Colt McCoy got hurt, and UT lost to Alabama. But Jordan, wonderful man of faith, loves the Lord, his family loves the Lord, is involved in a terrible accident and has burned over 20% of his body, his hands and his arms and his legs, and just a tremendous testimony so far. That happened on the 6th. That happened Tuesday, just less than a week ago, and how the Lord has been answering prayers. And I hope to have his dad on the program this week, Bob Shipley, to talk about it and to encourage our listeners to pray for Jordan Shipley. He's 40 years old. He and his wife, Sonny, have two children, I believe, and just a wonderful, wonderful family. Well, okay, so this is what I want to get into today. Obviously, lots going on in our country with all the protests over Renee Good being shot and killed by the ICE agent. People going so far. I saw Steve Kerr, the coach of the Warriors, Golden State Warriors, and then Doc Rivers, two NBA coaches, actually calling the ICE agent who shot this woman a murderer. I think those guys ought to be sued for that. At the very least, they need to come on publicly and say, hey, I apologize, I was wrong. But, you know, the outrage that we see from the left in the tragedy that befell this woman, that didn't have to happen. She put herself in harm's way. It was very obvious she put herself in harm's way. You start messing around with law enforcement officers. You start calling those guys out. You start poking the bear, so to speak. And you do things that impede their ability to do their jobs. And you insert yourself into trouble that doesn't belong to you. As the scripture says, it's like taking a dog by the ears. You're going to get bitten if you do that. So she did that and paid a heavy price for that. And so did the officer. No officer goes to work wanting to shoot somebody. That's a last resort. But those guys, as you've heard me say, and I've said many times, those guys, I'm personal friends with many law enforcement officers, those guys want to go home to their families at the end of the workday. And they don't want to, you know, be a casualty and be somebody on the news that nobody in media or on the left cares two hoots about. Oh, an officer got killed. Oh, well, that's the way it goes. No, those guys want to go home. And so you mess with them and you're going to suffer the consequences of that. Hopefully it's not death, but it's just not going to be good. And so what do we have? We have all these protests, and the protests from the left tend to turn violent so much of the time. Not in every protest. Obviously, we have the right to legally protest and peacefully protest, but surrounding somebody's hotel and blaring horns and shining lights in the rooms, that's not peacefully protesting. And we're seeing that in Minnesota. So we need to pray. As I did a whole program on Friday about prayer, how prayer is so powerful, how Christians have the privilege to call upon the God of the universe and to pray. We need to pray for President Trump and J.D. Vance and Marco Rubio and Kristi Noem and Tom Holman and our officers and law enforcement around the country. Pray for our military. Pray for just the divide that keeps deepening in our country. You know, to me, the proof of the pudding is in the tasting, as the old expression goes. And what do we see from politicians on the left? We see rhetoric about violence. What do we see from the left? We see all protesting. And it's very selective, because they're not protesting when Irina Zaretska, our beautiful Iranian young girl on the the Charlotte light rail, gets stabbed in the neck by a career criminal who should have been locked up a long time ago. They don't say anything about her. They don't say anything about the women who were raped and brutalized, beaten with a rock to death by an illegal alien. They don't say anything about that. There's no moral outrage about that. But when a woman inserts herself into a situation on purpose, it's not, as Doc Rivers said, oh, she's just trying to get home. He didn't know anything about what he's talking about. This woman was following the ICE agent. She was part of this ICE agent watch. When you do that kind of dumb stuff, you put yourself in harm's way. And for what? For people you don't even know. For people who are in this country illegally. I watched a clip just this morning. It was just Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, and they were saying, hey, we're going to get illegal aliens out of this country. And that was, you know, 15 years ago. The Democrats still seem to have some common sense, but now it's totally gone. And so we need to pray. God answers prayer. Okay, so over the weekend, I was listening. A lot of times I like to go play golf and I'll go walk 18 holes. And even if I play poorly, which is often, I feel like, okay, it was a victory today because I walked 18 holes. That's probably about walking 4 or 5 miles. And so I was listened to the Bible, the YouTube app. I just listened to the Bible, and I'll listen to sermons, and I'll listen to podcasts and things like that. Well, I was listening to Todd Friel from Wretched Radio. I've tried a couple of different times to get Todd on the program, and unsuccessful so far, but I like Todd. I like his take on things. Well, he was talking about Philip Yancey, and he was talking about how to finish strong and how to not follow in the footsteps of Philip Yancey, the 76-year-old prolific Christian author, has sold 15 million copies of his books, and they've been translated into 40 different languages, and how he had the epic fail and came out just last week and said that he had been having an 8-year affair with a married woman. Philip has been married to his wife for 55 years. Philip has Parkinson's disease, and he's had to resign and retire. He said retire, but basically it's resign from ministry in disgrace, trying to rebuild the years of his life and get his life right with God and with his wife and with his family. And just a tragedy, just horrible. And so Todd was talking about that, and he read his confession letter on the air, and he said, hey, I'm not going to pick this apart. I don't know Philip Yancey, and so I can't really comment. But he did say this, and he came up with 10 things, 10 reasons why older men experience two things, either theological drift, which he said he's noticed in older guys. They're not as strong as they used to be on doctrine. They have theological drift, or they tread into a lifestyle of sexual immorality, as Philip Yancey did. And I was thinking about King Solomon. You know, Solomon was pretty young when he became king. David, he is the product of David and Bathsheba. And David had his sin with Bathsheba when he was probably, he died at 70. He's probably around 50 when he sins with Bathsheba. You know, the child that is born to them after the adulterous affair, was that child died. He prayed for that child, but that child died. And then he marries Bathsheba, and then they have another child, and his name is Solomon. And Nathan called him Jedidiah, loved of the Lord. And it says this about Solomon. So Solomon began to reign when he was young, probably 15, 20 years old. And it says, now Solomon loved many foreign women along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the sons of Israel, you shall not associate with them, neither shall they associate with you, for they will surely turn your heart away after their gods. Solomon held fast to these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned his heart away. No surprise there, because the Lord says that was going to happen. And it says this in 1 Kings 11, verse 4, for it came about when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away after other gods, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God as the heart of David his father had been when he was old. Now, he was king for 40 years. He assumed the throne when he was 15 or 20. So old, the scripture is referring to him being in his 50s. When Solomon was in his 50s, that's when his heart turned away. Started off great. Started off, he said, I'm a little child, Lord. I don't know how to go out and come in. And so give me wisdom that I may judge this wonderful people of yours. And so God gave him wisdom like the sand on the seashore. And because Solomon asked for wisdom to judge righteously and not for gold and silver, or not for a long life or any of those things, God added to him gold and silver and prosperity like the world has never seen. But Solomon's heart turned away from God when he got old. And so Philip Yancey is 76 years old, 8-year affair. That started in his 60s, in his late 60s. And so here was Todd Friel, Wretched Radio, 10 reasons why older men experience theological drift or they begin living a lifestyle of sexual immorality. And it's a countdown. Number 10, spiritual complacency. People get tired. And he's talking a lot to men, to men in spiritual leadership. You get tired, you get lazy, you stop seeking the Lord like you used to when you were a new Christian. You just dove into the scripture and you memorize. I still remember hearing a message from the late great, his name escapes me now, Dallas Theological Seminary. Debbie and I got to have breakfast with him one day and his wife, but he was starting to lose his memory. And he was talking one time, he had the 7 laws of the teacher, great teacher, and he was talking one time and he said, you remember when we used to have these 3x5 cards from Navigators that had scripture verses on them, and then we'd have these pack of cards and we'd be memorizing scripture? Remember that when you were a younger Christian? And everybody's like, yeah, I remember that. And he said, why did you stop? Why did you stop? And so it was one of those amen turn to oh me. Well, you stop. You get spiritually complacent. I'll come up with his name in a minute here. But anyway, so spiritual complacency. Number 9, self-righteousness. You let your guard down. Think this could never happen to me. Number 8, no accountability. Everyone needs accountability. I don't care who you are, where you are, what you are, what you've achieved in the Christian life. You need accountability. I need accountability. As my friend Steve Rumbelow told me years and years ago, I've never forgotten it. Jeff, we all have feet of clay from the greatest pastor, from the Apostle Paul on down. We all have feet of clay and we need accountability. Number 7, marital drift. Chris and I talked about that last Wednesday on the program. Hey, good marriages don't just happen. You have to work at them. And then we'll come back with the rest and talk about a remedy to make sure that you don't fall, that I don't fall. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and we will be right back after the break. You're listening to American Family Radio.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're talking about a program that Todd Friel did that really spoke to my heart. He was talking about Philip Yancey. He was talking about his fall into terrible sin that lasted 8 years. And he was asking this question, you know, Philip Yancey's 76 years old and in his late 60s, he falls into sexual immorality. How does this happen? Why are we seeing men, I think of Steve Lawson, 72 or so, that was having an affair with a young girl in her 20s. And, you know, I mean, many, many people followed Steve Lawson, read his books, and loved to hear him preach. I wasn't a huge fan of his, but I appreciated his, you know, his strong stand on Scripture. And, you know, then it just destroys him. Ravi Zacharias, you know, people are left scratching their heads. And what in the world happened? Well, I thought Todd did a good job with explaining how this happened. So just to recap, we said he does a countdown, 10 to 1. So number 10 was spiritual complacency. You just get tired and lazy, stop seeking the Lord. Number 9, self-righteousness. You let your guard down. You say, this could never happen to me, and it can. We're all susceptible. Number 8, no accountability, and that's something we all need. Number 7, marital drift. Your marriage, you're not pouring into your marriage. Good marriages just don't happen by osmosis. You have to focus on your marriage. You have to focus on your spouse. You have to build those things and communicate and spend time together. Those things are critical. Number 6, a late life crisis. That can knock you for a loop. You lose a child or something like that happens, and it just throws you off course if you're not careful. Number 5, he said, was boredom. You know, life just is like, I need something exciting. You know, as you get older, you can't do the things you used to do. I told Debbie last night, I said, I just don't have the energy at the end of the day like I used to have. And so I think to myself, well, I'm gonna lift weights and I'm gonna do the elliptical. We have a room that has an elliptical and another room that has a treadmill. Debbie doesn't like the elliptical, she liked a treadmill, so we got a treadmill on. You know, you can get that stuff for pretty cheap because lots of people buy it thinking, this is going to be, I'm going to be on that thing all the time, and it turns into a coat rack. And so we got it for pretty cheap. But we have those things, and I have some dumbbells, and there's nothing that's preventing me from doing that other than I don't have the energy that I used to. And because you don't have the energy, you can get bored. You're not channeling yourself like you used to, and you get bored, and you can desire something exciting to spice up your life. It can be deadly. Number 4, bad online habits. And he didn't go into a lot of detail on that, but we know what that is. Hey, you know, you can look at one of my good friends, Dean Barry, he says, you know, I can look at reels, and once you watch a reel on, you know, whether it's movie clips or golf or preaching or something like that, it has an algorithm in it and knows, oh, you like this. And if you're not careful, the doom scrolling, as they call it, can lead you down a path that all of a sudden is bad. I downloaded a game the other day, some kind of game where zombies are coming at you and you're shooting at them. And it had all this sexual innuendo. This is for like kids that are 8 years old and up. And I just deleted it. I said, what in the world? Why is this? It's all cartoon characters, but it's like, why would you do that? No doubt to poison the minds of young boys who do those shoot 'em up kind of games. Okay, so bad online habits. We have to watch out for that. Number three, success and comfort can foster a sense of entitlement. You know, I think about David with this. When it says with his great fall in first or second Samuel chapter 11, says it was in the spring of the year when the kings go out to battle that David stayed behind in Jerusalem. I mean, he had had victory after victory after victory after victory, and he was kind of coasting in his relationship with the Lord. He should have been out at battle. When the time when kings go out to battle, where was he? He was lounging in Jerusalem. That got him into trouble. He was not where he was supposed to be. So success and comfort can foster a sense of entitlement. And when he saw Bathsheba and he inquired about her, who is this? This is Bathsheba. She's the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Uriah the Hittite is one of your mighty men, David. Don't go there. But he somehow felt entitled, and he called for her, and he had an adulterous one-night stand with her that ended up producing a child, and that just set off a string of bad decisions, and Uriah ends up dead, and David ends up marrying Bathsheba, and the child dies, and because of that sin, the thing that he did was evil in the sight of the Lord. Read that in 2 Samuel chapter 11, the last verse of the chapter. And because of that, Nathan the prophet said, because you did this, the sword will not depart from your house. And in the very next chapter, what happens? You have disaster that comes as his son Amnon rapes his daughter Tamar. And then Absalom, his oldest son, kills Amnon. And then Absalom tries to steal the kingdom away from his father David. And then Absalom gets killed by David's nephew Joab, who is the general. I mean, it's a web of disaster that came into his life. It's all because of his sin. So success and comfort can foster a sense of entitlement. Number two, a lack of real engagement in a local church. Now, this is not so much with pastors, obviously, because pastors are very involved in the local church. Not so much with Sunday school teachers, although Sunday school teachers, if they're not careful, they can detach from the church, and they can just they have their own their classes like their own church, and they're not really connected to the staff and to the ministry of the church. It's just all my little kingdom here. They have to watch out for that. But guys like Ravi Zacharias. He didn't have a church. He was in the apologetics ministry. He's traveling all the time. That's another thing that's a real problem. I have another friend of mine that, I was asking him about his church involvement. Well, I don't really have that. I'm always speaking somewhere. That's not good, because then you don't have the accountability of your local church. You and I need that. Upon this rock I will build my church, the Lord says. He's not building an apologetics ministry or a prophecy ministry or a this ministry or that ministry or the other ministry. He's building the church. Now, those ministries they're obviously good, but you are gone a lot when you're in demand and speaking and things, but you need to have a connection to a local church. And then number one, Todd said, we have a tendency to soften in old age. We become more lenient of other views and other religious tenets and interpretations, and we just kind of compromise. And our gentleness, which makes us great, the scripture says, can be used against us if we're not careful, because then we become too grace-oriented when it comes to false teaching and false teachers. And so the Bible says that Jesus was full of grace and truth. Both of those are to 100%, it's full to the top. And we need to be full of grace and truth. You can't be so grace-oriented that truth gets thrown out the window, and you can't be so truth-oriented that grace gets thrown out the window. You need to have the right balance, full of grace and truth. And when it comes to false teaching is of the devil. And we need to see that as poison. All lies, when you trace them back, they come from the devil. And so we don't... I was listening to some guy talking about, the Quran, and Christians were saying, you know, how should we view the Quran? How should we view the Book of Mormon? How should we view the Talmud? The Talmud is basically a Jewish commentary on the Old Testament scripture. And should we view all those the same? And the man's answer was, well, it's good. The Talmud is fine to read. You know, it's not scripture, but it's a commentary on the scripture. But the Quran and the Book of Mormon, those are inspired by the devil. And you can read them for intellectual purposes, so you can know what is in there, and you can use that to show the fallacies. But don't read them for gaining knowledge in terms of, well, maybe I'll understand God better. You won't, because those are lies, and the devil is not just one liar among many liars. He's a master liar. And so we need to be careful with those things, and just know that all teaching, false teaching, that comes from the devil. All false teaching comes from the devil. And we don't need to soften our views as we get older. We need to hold up the truth of Scripture and say, thus says the Lord, let God be found true, though every man be found a liar. One of the reasons I love Ken Ham so much, and I was very blessed to have him on the program before Christmas, is Ken Ham is 70 years old, and he still lifts up the truth of Scripture, thus says the Lord. And his answer to most things, you know, he heads up Answers in Genesis, is strictly that. Well, you can find that answer in Genesis, because everything goes back to the foundation. And the problems that we're having in America today, the problems with gender ideology, where do we find the answer? The answers are in Genesis, the first 11 chapters of Genesis. It gives us the foundation for everything. The reason we have such diverse views on the world is because some people have a worldview that is totally divorced from the foundation. It's divorced from Genesis. Well, what do we read in Genesis? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You have to start with God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of everything. It's the first button of the shirt. If you get the first button of your shirt wrong, everything else is wrong. And no matter how much you try and fix it, it's not going to be fixed until you get the first button right. So the fear of the Lord, understanding God is God and you're not God, understanding that let God be found true, though every man be found a liar, believing God's word. You may not understand it all, but that's fine. You just say, well, I don't understand it all, but I believe this is the inspired word of God, and I yield to it. As it says in Psalm 119, I lift my hands to your commandments, which I love. I lift my hands in surrender and say, okay, God, you're God, and I'm going to trust your word. And when bad things happen to me, I told the church this yesterday, when bad things happen to me, what do? I remember that God is good. I remember that God loves me. And I remember that God works all things together for good to those who love him. Okay, so Todd goes on. He gives those 10 reasons why this happens, why older guys, especially in ministry, can fall so hard and so far and take so many people with them. Because, listen, you know, We do put a lot of stock into our heroes in the faith. We all have feet of clay, yes, but when somebody that we've really learned a lot from, when they fall, I mean, it hurts. So, 6 things to help you and me avoid a shipwreck in the Christian life, especially as you get over 50. Number 6, double down on sanctification, he said. Fight sin with all your heart. Divert your eyes. Don't let things come in that you wouldn't have 30 years ago let come in to the eye gate and to the ear gate. You know, the Bible says we put sin to death. We mortify sin. We try to manage sin. You can't manage sin. You mortify sin. The flesh is like a lion on the loose. What do you do with a lion on the loose? You don't manage him. You put him to death. Otherwise, he's going to destroy you. Number five, don't get lazy spiritually, but press in to spiritual growth. We need to constantly be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Number four, don't abandon the severe attributes of God, His justice, His righteousness, and His wrath. God is a good God. He's a loving God. He's a God full of grace and mercy and compassion, yet He will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. And God, our God, is a consuming fire, as it tells us in Hebrews. Number three, don't lose the fear of the Lord. We need to keep ratcheting that up. Number two, be accountable. Find an accountability partner. Especially, this is especially hard for pastors. So I would say, hey, if you're a pastor, you need to find another pastor that understands the pressures and understands what you go through, and share with that guy, somebody that you can trust, and share with him your temptations and your faults and failures and weaknesses. It makes a big, big difference. And number one, watch the fine line between maturity and compromises, and be richly involved in the church. This is for all these traveling guys, all the musicians, Christian singers, and things like that. When you travel a lot, I think about Sandy Patty. Chris Schroeder and I talked about her. She had a terrible fall. But it's important to be plugged into a church. And Sandy has a great testimony of getting her life right with God. So those are the six things to help you avoid a shipwreck. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And when we come back from the break, when you hear the music, that means the break is coming. When we come back from the break, we'll be opening the phone lines and taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, I'd love to hear from you. It's always a joy to hear from our listeners. And you know, it can be something that you ask or that you share about your own life that can really help somebody else. So give me a call and let's talk. We'll be right back after.
This June marks 3 years since the overturn of Roe, but did you know that since then, the number of abortions has surged to a 10-year high? Preborn Network clinics continue to support women facing unplanned pregnancies, showering them with God's love and providing free ultrasounds. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she's twice as likely to choose life.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound. That's when everything changed. When I saw my baby and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
$28 sponsors one ultrasound and $140 helps to rescue five babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation also helps to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We've been talking about finishing strong. We've been talking about Todd Friel and the list that he came up with, 10 reasons why older men experience theological drift or they drift into a life of sexual immorality, and six things to help you avoid a shipwreck in your life so that you can finish strong. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 4, for it came about when Solomon was old. He probably died at around 60. came about when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away after other gods, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God as the heart of David his father had been. We don't want to follow in his footsteps. Solomon had a great start and a terrible finish. How many people, how many Christians, genuine Christians, true believers, have a great start in the Christian life, but then they peter out and their heart turns away from the Lord as they get older? We don't want to have that. We want to finish strong. And you're not immune to a shipwreck. I'm not immune to a shipwreck. But here's the thing. If you stay vigilant, if you devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, if you keep bringing yourself before the Lord and keep praying with David, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any evil, hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." If we keep doing business with the Lord and not allowing things to build up in our lives, then we can walk with him all the way to glory, walk in the light with him. Hey, if we say we have fellowship with him, 1 John chapter 1, if we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. We don't want to do that. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's how you live the Christian life. You walk in the light with Jesus. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment, love to hear from you. And we have Mark on the line from Texas. Mark, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Jeff. I have enjoyed listening to you since, I don't know, for the last 6 or 8 years, or not on this line, but listening to you in lots of different venues. I wanted to ask if I could get a list of all of these, maybe mailed to me, or go back on the American Family Radio website and listen to this podcast again. I saw it was Truth. It's called Real Truth for Today, but I didn't find it in the podcast list, unless it was today's issues or under some other category.
No, it's under Real Truth for Today. I tell you what, Mark, email me, PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org, PastorJeff, JEFF@FromHisHeart.org, and I'll send you the link to the program today.
Okay, you said Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org.
Yeah, FromHisHeart.org. So,
okay, Pastor Jeff, FromHisHeart.org.
Yes.
Okay, Pastor Jeff, FromHisHeart.org. Okay.
Yeah, at Pastor Jeff
at sign.
Yeah, Pastor Jeff at sign FromHisHeart.org.
Okay, I'll sure do it at FromHisHeart.org. Okay. Okay, sir, thank you. Keep
all up right,
the good
Mark,
work, and God bless you.
God bless you, brother. Thank you for calling in. Thanks for that encouragement. We have Scott on the line from Mississippi. Scott, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Morning, Pastor Jeff.
Good
morning. I was listening to Todd Friel on Wretched Radio. I love to listen to that on Saturday nights. It kind of sets the tone for a provocative worship day on Sundays, even though it is a little late in most of our days. He really does not hold back, does he?
No, he didn't.
One of the things that I thought was a common thread through all the 10 things that he mentioned and the 6 remedies that he added is kind of the same thing that got Adam and Eve in trouble in the garden, and it's one of Satan's primary tactics, and it's one that I saw demonstrated on Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom as a young lad, and I've never seen it more vividly demonstrated. And then when it's the word isolation, and it's how most predators,
right,
attack their prey, isolate the weak one,
mm-hmm,
the crippled one, or the, you know, the injured one, or the young one, and they can separate them from the pack, get them one on one, and that's kind of invariably what happens in those 10 things that you deal
right
there. You've got isolated situation. And I also wanted to celebrate and encourage others who have been like me and have been separated from the local church family for an extended period of time. My wife and I just went back to engage in a small group in a local church yesterday. And as intimidating as it can be, especially before you ever take that next step, God is merciful, and he will bless you. And the pastor of the church where we re-entered church life was so merciful. In fact, he had a great idea. I thought that it may be something you want to some approach, something you want to build into your approach with your church family. He said, "Don't want you to just go in this class. I want you to go in with the idea that you're dating this class, because you're just going to try them on. And I've got two or three, four options of places that you and your wife can go if y'all want to go into a couples class, or you want to go into a men's class, a ladies class, or whatever." And he said, "We'll let you try a different one next week." So it took a lot of the "you're stuck in something that you may not be able to ever get out of" type.
Right,
a lot of the intimidation factor out and made it very comfortable. And the pastor himself was engaged in that process, and that really made a big impact.
Yeah, that's really good, Scott. Yeah, you need to find, as it relates to people coming to church, I mean, church is critical. You know, that's the we're commanded, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So that's the book of Hebrews that tells us that, chapter 10. We're not to blow off church like it's no big deal. It is a big deal. And being connected and having the fellowship of the local church, the prayers of the local church, the praises, the preaching, all that stuff is important. And finding the Sunday school class that really connects and fits with you in your age and stage in life, that is really important. I talked about that last week in church. I said, you know, if you just come to church, we have, you know, on a Sunday morning, we'll have 1,700 in worship. You know, it fluctuates. Sometimes it's 1,400, sometimes it's 1,700. It just kind of fluctuates. But if you're a face in the crowd, if all you do is come to the worship service, now it's good to come to the worship service, but you need more than that. The worship service can't be good accountability because you're just in the masses. But when you come to a Sunday school class and there are 20 people in there, 30 people in there, 40, 50 people, whatever it might be, maybe it's just 10. People know who you are, and you know who they are, and they can hold you accountable, and they can do life with you, and they can pray for you, and they know about you because you're not anonymous. And so we need that. You need that. I need that. We need that. So I appreciate that call, Greg, and that, or Scott, and thank you for that. We have Greg on the line from Mississippi, our friend Greg. Greg, welcome to the program.
Praise the Lord. Glory. Yes, sir. You were talking about the ministry. The good Lord gave me the encouraging word October 18, 2012, Pastor Jill. And one thing I'm kind of a whole hard head, but I don't let the ministry outpace me. You understand? I've got to have my alone time with the Lord, or I'm no good to anybody or even myself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it said, yes, sir, it says, you know, God is a spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and truth. What if we worship him only in spirit? We'll dry up. But if we worship him only in truth, we'll blow up. But if we'll worship him in spirit and truth, we'll grow up. And I think I just need to put a big boy pants on, don't we, brother?
That's good. I appreciate that, Greg. God bless you, brother. A good word to encourage us. You know, I think about Psalm 40, Psalm of David. He said, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. And he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud, nor to those who lapse into falsehood." Now, I mentioned to the church yesterday in my sermon, I talked about this on Wednesday night. So I preach Sunday morning, and I preach on Wednesday night at First Baptist Texarkana, Texas. And I said, hey, what's our number one reason for being here? You've heard me say this on the radio, and it bears repeating. Our number one reason for being on this earth is to be his witnesses. As I still remember lifting weights with a friend of mine in college, my freshman year in college, and I was talking to Aaron, who's his name, is a Jewish guy. I was talking to him about the Lord and about coming to know Christ, and he said, well, if heaven is so great and salvation is so great, why doesn't God just take you to heaven? And I said, well, God has left me here to talk to you. That's why I'm here, to be his witnesses, to tell people about Jesus who's mighty to save, to tell people about, hey, there is a Savior in heaven who loves you. He died on the cross for your sins. He rose again from the dead. He wants to give you eternal life. He wants to change you from the inside out. He wants to bring the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. You have sinned against God, and he can make you right with God. And so we're here to be his witnesses. Now, as we get older, now I've maintained this for a long time, and I think this is undeniably true. The difficulty in the Christian life is it's long. We can do anything off emotion. We can sprint. If the Christian life were a sprint, everybody could do it, because you can get excited to run 100 meters. You know, hey, I'm going to go all out for 100 meters. It's harder when you're doing an ultra marathon. You know, marathon 26.2 miles. 26.2? I think that's right. 26.3. I think it's 26.2. But that's a marathon. That's a long race. And then they have the ultra marathons. I have a friend of mine in our church who's run some that are 100-mile marathons. I think it's 100 miles that he's run. I know he's done 50, but 50's not enough. Does 100 miles. He ends up running for like 24 hours. It's just insane. And, you know, you're not sprinting for 24 hours. You're pacing yourself. And so the Christian life is a race. Hebrews chapter 12. We fix our eyes on Jesus. So seeing so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, that doesn't mean they're watching us, but those who have gone before us. Hebrews chapter 11 talks about all those in the hall of the faithful. And there are witnesses. Hey, you can do it just like we did it. Seeing so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. It's an endurance race. It's a long race. It's not a sprint. It's not 100 meters. It's more like 100 miles, so to speak. It's a long race. And so how do you finish the race strong? You fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Listen, we don't want to shipwreck toward the end of our time here on earth. We want to go strong all the way to the finish line. I'm reminded of Leon Lett, the defensive lineman for the Dallas Cowboys, and he was getting ready to score a touchdown in Super Bowl whatever when they were playing the Buffalo Bills, and they had a sack and there was a fumble, and he scooped it up and he's running in for a touchdown. And Don Beebe, who was the wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills, I think it was Beebe, anyway, one of their wide receivers, he chased him down, and Leon Lett is celebrating too soon, and he holds the ball up, and he's on the 1 yard line, and before he crosses the goal line, that receiver catches him, and he knocks the ball loose, and the ball goes out of the end zone, touchback, and it goes back to the Buffalo Bills. That guy was 1 yard from scoring a touchdown in a Super Bowl, and he blew it because he celebrated too early. He began to coast. Don't do that. I'm speaking to myself. Jeff, don't do that. And you don't do that either. Go strong all the way to the finish line so that we come before the Lord and we can be like the guy who was given 5 talents, the guy who was given 2 talents. When he meets the master, he said, look, master, you entrusted me with 5 talents. I've made 5 more. Look, Master, you entrusted me with two talents. I made two more. And hear the Master say, well done, my good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your Master. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.